Hi, Gunshy Patriots podcast number 2. It occurred to me that as much fun as jam sessions are, you guys might want to be included. And quite frankly, I love having everything on the record.
Okay.
Not to mention that, you know, pausing and restarting the recording every single time we have something going on, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to leave this recording. And I guess...
So are we actually putting this on?
Which one?
Because are we actually putting this episode on?
Well, you can edit it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, guys, we're not real podcasters. We actually edit things. I don't know if the pros are so awesome they can go through it without editing, but...
Well, they know what they're talking about, that's why.
And there are things we just don't want you guys to hear. Yeah. Like the jokes about your mom.
Yeah, there you go. Of course.
But you're never on recording.
No.
Okay.
You're never going to make it.
All right. No. I mean, you know, back to what we were saying about. So in this jam session, we're going over. The time has come.
This is a new song.
It's a new song
with old words.
With old words, right? Right. We dug them out of the annals of my morbidity.
Yeah. That's a cool album title, Annals of Morbidity.
It sounds more like an indie hipster
yeah.
a take on emo, because emo right. wouldn't actually use the word morbidity, I think.
No. Or annals.
They might use annals.
Yeah.
They're pretty into big annals. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the discussion here was whether or not Ramel was singing the song right, to which I responded that he wrote the song.
Well, okay, but that's not true, because Matt was the one who put the words... You know, because this comes from a poem that he wrote all these years ago. And we just dug him up, and hey, there's potential for this to become a song. So we said, hey, it's maybe sounds like, and then we just, you know, like maybe an hour or two later, we had a song. It was Time Has Come.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I mean, you know, watching a song come to life is always great. I mean, sometimes you plan for it, sometimes you sweat and bleed over a song for days.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just kind of falls in your lap. You know, somebody wrote down some bass, or you had a chord or something, and it just kind of comes to life.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, I mean, like, ultimately, what I meant to say when I said that Ramel wrote the song was that he wrote the music to it. Like, I may have supplied the chords, but almost every bit of the vocal phrasing belongs to Ramel. So, whether or not you're singing it correctly, I mean, that's up to you. I mean, there's... I don't like the words half the time, but that's because I wrote the poem, and, you know, it's that thing where you go back and you look at your work and you're like, good Lord, what did I do?
Yeah, and this was written a few years ago, of course, right? At least a few.
This was written back in high school.
Oh, so this is like...
So this is 10-plus years ago.
There's been a decade of removal between when you wrote this and when we're
right.
digging up. Yeah, yeah.
Like that,
this is like a time capsule, almost, I guess.
That's exactly what you said about those that poetry book. In fact, wasn't this one dated like September 5th?
Yeah, September
2001.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, so that's 12 years of poetry, man.
That's right.
Collected dust.
Well, now we're digging it up. Well, it's kind of still pretty dusty, but we'll work through it.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like you're singing everything correctly. I mean. I like what you throw into there. There's nothing that you do in there that I don't like. Like I said, the only thing I don't like is the fact that I feel like maybe I should chime in at certain areas. Or there are just parts of the song that I like that I really want to sing.
Yeah.
But you're already covering that note. So what should I be doing?
Okay, well, because you're still... Because Matt is still an up-and-coming vocalist, right? If you're going to sing the song, I think you should... sing the melody, and then I'll go over you or under you.
Right, right. So it's basically our basic formula,
yeah.
which is I play the guitar,
mm-hmm.
I sing the melody,
mm-hmm.
I do my absolute best to drown you out so I don't encroach upon your...
Well, not, you know, mentally.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I don't know if we covered this in the last podcast. I don't think we did, but just for your guys' information, I can't sing. And I don't mean that in a self you know, deprecating way where I really can't sing. It's more like whatever comes out of my mouth, whatever vocals leave me are usually tuned in to something, either the piano, the guitar, the recorder in my ear, or the guy singing next to me.
You're a follower.
I am a follower. I am a sheep.
Right, right.
So, I am a sheeple.
Well, then wake up. So, but, well, everyone, well, my take on it is that everyone could sing. I mean, even my mom could sing.
Right.
And my mom is very self-conscious when it comes to her singing because she's afraid that she's going out of tune. But that's a fact of life. You know, if you didn't practice singing, if singing was not your livelihood or something that you really honed into as a skill, then there's always a chance that you're going out of tune. For the record, my mom is a really good singer because she really loves to sing. And yeah, me and my brother, having studied music, you know, we're really hard on her, you know, when we listen to her sing. But for the record, she really is a good singer. And I think my love for music comes from, you know, from her egging me on, like, hey, you should do this because I think this is cool and I think you should do this as well.
Right.
So I think everyone can sing. So what you need to do is you need to find your own angle into it.
Right.
One of my friends who is a professional singer, he said, well, you know, Romel, I don't like my voice either. It kind of sucks. It's kind of ugly. So what I do is I kind of sing in a way that plays up my strengths. So I notice that I sing really loud, and so when I go low, I really scoop it and really really shape my notes so that even if I don't like my voice, the totality of it, the texture of the voice and the accompaniment, you know, kind of work together to make something kind of all right.
That's kind of interesting because, you know, a lot of people say that singing softly is easier. Like, it's easier to maintain pitch and tone and all that other stuff. And
well, I mean, that's also intuitive because you're using less energy.
Right. Except I actually don't have that control. Like, I find, you know, finding my own angle, so to speak, right? That when I'm alone and nobody else can hear me, right? I actually appreciate my voice more when I know a song and when I'm singing it loud. Like, I feel like I can't reach certain notes without a certain level of energy behind my voice.
You have to blast it.
I have to blast it.
In order to get to that.
So.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, because maybe that's just how your voice works.
Right.
There, you know, everyone's voice is different.
Right.
Like mine, I notice that mine is mine is like a plane. You know, it's not an airplane, but like a Kansas plane,
right.
Like an Arkansas plane. Like, it's very clear and it's usually in tune, but it's very featureless. And that's if my voice has any failing, it's the fact that if I sing, you could tell it's me because you couldn't tell it was me. You know, it's that's how it is.
Well, I don't hear that in you. I think you actually have a very distinctive voice. Although maybe that's because we've been writing music that's been pushing your voice to limits that like church music hasn't.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. But you know what I find is a good example of what I'm talking about when you got to belt out the words or the stuff? I think Stratosphere is a really good example of that. Because when you play Stratosphere and you're trying to keep it low for the benefit of people around us, it sounds like you're really straining to hit notes. Where I feel like if you just cut loose, they would come so much easier.
Maybe. So now I'm seeing where you're coming from. When you're at a certain level of loudness in your voice, it's much harder to vibrate the tips of your vocal cords, right? So it's harder to hit the high notes if you're soft. I think that's the physics behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I know we've talked about this before, but like in my opinion, I don't have a full vocal range. I've got a couple of notes from the lower end, and then quite a few more notes from the mid to the high range. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically where I feel like my strength is. I mean, if I try to go lower, I drop into a whole octave lower because I don't have the control for it. If I go higher, I fall into some weird falsetto thing. So yeah, for me, I guess, you know, it makes more sense that I need that energy to vibrate those tips.
Right.
But you know,
vibrate those tips.
You know, how about? It's off topic. It's off what we were practicing, but I mean, we're talking about it. Why don't you play Stratosphere?
Okay, let's play Stratosphere.
Okay.
Actually, I had a thought that maybe I should record this on the piano because, you know, the the way it phrased, the way it's played and the way it phrases is just, it's just evocative of like someone playing like.
You know, Carpenter's just sounds like that. Too
yeah.
close?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, close to you.
Close to you?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. But I mean, you know, we've talked about in the past, you play guitar like you're playing a piano, which is an interesting talent, I might add. I mean, that's... not many people can do that. You know, save for like the professional classical guitarist.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
But
that's...
then again, they devote their entire livelihood to it. You, right. on the other hand, do it out of love for the instrument, which is interesting.
Well, it's because because it's the I'm better at the piano than I am at the guitar. I learned the guitar when I was a senior in high school. That was back in 01. I brought my guitar to school and I said, "Hey, can you play me something and I'll just watch you," you know. And this comes from me like knowing how a piano works. Now I've played piano since I was 6. So that's a big gap between the two. So everything now I see, you know how when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
So I approached guitar. As soon as I became skilled enough on the guitar, I started approaching it like as if it were a piano.
Right, right.
Because that's what I knew, right? That was my home.
And the interesting thing is that I've been playing piano, like, not trained, but, like, I've always had a piano as a toy. You know, it started off with a toy piano that my parents thought were cute. Then they got me one of those kiddie keyboards that had like 21 keys on it.
Yeah.
That I learned everything I could on it. Then they got me a full, you know, a mid-sized keyboard. Eventually, by middle school, they got me into classes for it.
Nice.
But I mean, I've been playing piano off and on, about the same as you, same length, not the same intensity. Mm-hmm. Except when presented with the opportunity to continue piano or move to guitar, I chose the guitar.
Uh-huh. Well, the guitar is portable.
It is portable. That was my main deciding factor, was the guitar was portable, and it was so much easier to pick up a song. I mean, like, gosh, you know, I want to learn a song on guitar. You gave me 6 chords, and I had it down in, like, a day.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn a song on piano. I had to find the sheet music for it,
right,
and then commit that to muscle memory, and that would take me a week.
Yeah, that would take at least a week. That's right.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I find it interesting that you and I had similar starting points, and then we went off in 2 different directions. And now, you know, you and I are playing together,
okay.
And it's like we kind of complete the thing.
There's like gaps are all filled there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try this.
All right, so Stratosphere for you guys.
That's not part of the song, I'm just playing around. Okay, all right.
laughable balloon from a black and white cartoon, barely keeping up with you. You took me to the stratosphere, and I think I like it here. Would you mind if we fly together, side by side? Out of style, I never meant to be far from the ground. I'm just waiting to be shot down. I wish I knew your frequency. I'm hoping I can make you see. Within this Zeppelin piloting, being with you makes me wanna sing. Took me to the stratosphere, and I think I like it here. Would you mind if we fly together, side by side? It will only be a while. This formation is out of style.
That's how it sounds. Yeah.
So that was Stratosphere.
Yeah. So now that's actually the first legit recording of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought you did one.
Well, it had mistakes and stuff. This one I was able to do it all the way through.
Right. The only thing this one suffered from was the door opening.
That was good too. This would be good as a work in progress. You know? Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, to be quite honest, I'm a really big fan of acoustic recordings that sound like they were done in somebody's house. You know, door opening, right. Slight interruption at the end, mm-hmm. Screwing up on a chord and being like, damn it! You know, I mean, it evokes that feeling that you're there with the person.
Yeah, you're just hanging out.
You're making those connections. Mm-hmm. Which is really what we, like you said, it's what this band's about, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and it's easier that way. I mean, honestly, like, recording hygiene could be practiced, but, yeah, there's a lot of steps you gotta go through.
By the way, Ronick Lavea established or extended an invitation to go up to his house, check out his studio, and do some jamming with him.
That sounds cool. Who's Ronick Lavea?
Oh, God. Okay. To any Guamis listening to this, if you're in the music scene, I apologize for that question. We don't get out that much, okay? Now, I'm sure there'll be some metalheads and a couple other people out there on this island who will argue. But Ron's been in the music business for a while, like 15, 20 years, and I might be understating it already, right? Because all I have is his daughter as a source, right?
Okay.
But I do know that it was supported that apparently he's one of the best guitarists on this island.
Wow, okay.
And you can find him jamming at Mac and Marty's on Saturday and Jimmy D's Thursday nights. So there's my Ronick Lavea plug.
Nice, nice, okay.
Nice.
See, every time we record one of these podcasts, I learn about someone new, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's cool because what I love about Jibramel is that unlike every other artist out there, myself included, you don't define yourself by other artists. And it's not out of arrogance. That's the awesome thing, is that there are other people out there who go, no, it's my style. You know, it's not influenced by anybody. It's all me. And it's just pure arrogance to say that they haven't been influenced by anybody. But you, I mean, you know that it's back there, but you don't instantly tie names to everything that you do.
No, I guess not. And a part of that is just, you know, you just saw an example of, it's just I don't know what's out there. I've been in this musical cocoon almost, right, for like the longest time.
Right.
It's because when I started writing songs and then playing things, I have extensive background with the church. So right. I play piano for the church. Right. I've done that for the longest time. But other than that, I haven't really been publicly been playing music.
Right. Exactly. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure if I were to drop names like Dan Shute, mm-hmm. you know, you would know who I was talking
right,
about.
Right.
Right, because you play a lot of this music.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, local artists? No, you're not going to know them.
Yeah,
too much.
I'm not in this. Yeah, I'm not in the scene yet, and that could be a problem, I guess.
But you know, it might be because it's so easy to get absorbed in your music. Like when we recorded our debut album, mm-hmm. right? Like, I forgot how to play a lot of things. I think it was a combination of I needed to learn our stuff,
right.
and I needed to pass my
muster, you know, like a.
I needed to pass classes. Okay, it was my senior year. That's I had right. capstone going on.
There was more than just the band going on.
Right. So I really needed to be able to pass. So my brain did the only sensible thing it could. It dumped every bit of it dumped every bit of extra music in my head out, and for the longest time, all I had
was music.
Yeah. Nice. All I had was basically imaginary friends. Like, I would sit down, I'd pick up a guitar, and I couldn't play Taking Back Sunday. I couldn't play, you know, Weezer or the Ataris or any of them. I basically only knew what we had written.
The IMO stuff.
Like, before, when I would pick up a guitar, my default would be New American Classic by Taking Back Sunday. Mm-hmm. Or I would I stole Ryan's riff for Say It Ain't So by Weezer, you know, things like that. Or Coheed and Cambria's, you know, The Light in the Glass. Mm-hmm. Now, it's like I sat down and all you hear is do 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 do.
Flame Tree,
you know, or I really loved playing Holiday Cowboy. Such an uplifting song.
Yeah, except it's about killing yourself.
So
that's just how it is. Right. Okay, so I don't know what to comment on the fact that
your cocoon is contagious.
Yeah, the cocoon is like so completely ensconcing that only now am I discovering all these new songs. So, yeah, I have a lot of catching up to do, I guess.
You know, I mean, you could always look at it like this. I look at it like this. When I discovered country music, right? And everybody hears country and they're like, ew, country?
Right, yeah.
Y'all, right?
Yeah, what the heck is that?
Yeah, and they just hate on it. But when I discovered country, God, I was like a kid in the candy store. Why? Because I discovered a totally new genre of music that I hadn't touched yet.
Right.
That I hadn't existed. Right. So it was all these new experiences and these musical, you know, like guiding lights that I could now abuse, and it was great. So, you know, I mean, take your cocoon as a blessing in disguise, because now you have your own musical style. You established that.
Perhaps,
right.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you get to take from other things. Like me, I'm still bouncing around. I mean, you know, I was supposed to be the islandy whatever influence in our band. Mm-hmm. By virtue that I knew how to play a couple of island songs. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But I mean, you look at it, my musical style is more, you know, influenced by the Ataris, by Rufio, by, you know, All American Rejects and you know, the Used.
The Used, wow, I've heard about that band.
Yeah. Blue and Yellow, we should cover it. Oh, wait, you know what? Okay, I'm going on a limb here and saying you guys listen to this because the last podcast was played, what, 15 times? 30 some times played. Yeah. Wow, okay, and downloaded how many times?
10,
okay. So 30 some times played, downloaded 10 times. So we've got either somebody's really, really playing it over and over and over again,
yeah.
And if you are, we love you. But otherwise, I'm assuming we have at least 30 some people listening to us.
There, right?
Right? So let's do a poll. Okay, if you know The Used, great. If you don't, look them up. They're a really cool band. Their sound might be harder than what you like, considering you're listening to us. But let's do a poll on the thing. I want to do a Used cover, and I'm really partial to Buried Myself Alive and Blue and Yellow. So, you know, why not let our followers decide which one we cover?
Yeah, we could put that on Facebook right now, actually.
Right.
Okay. And then we could even ask those guys to do it, too, right?
Right.
Let's see.
So we're going to put up a poll. How long you want to leave the poll up?
A day or two.
A day or two. Okay, so about a day or two. Hopefully that gives you guys enough time to you know, meander your way over to our page and see it. I don't know how often you guys actually visit us. If we're right there at the top of your feeds, awesome.
Yeah.
And if not, well, then we'll catch you on the next poll, obviously. Yeah, the whole point of this is we're going to try to keep moving. Probably misquoting it, but somebody said that they watched World War Z and the guy's main motto was movement is life. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think that works for just about every situation. I think we should do it. We should just keep moving as a band. You know, I mean, we've been getting together a lot more now, playing more stuff, writing more stuff. And, you know, that's just great because it means that the band's alive and doing something that hasn't stagnated.
What are those two songs? Blue and Yellow and what?
Buried Myself Alive.
Oh, God. I think of Blue and Yellow and Buried Myself Alive. Awesome. See, by doing things like this, we're also keeping our pages alive, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, if an active page is more easy to look at than a stagnant page, I guess.
It is, yeah. You go back, you're like, man, nothing's happening there. Why would I want to be there? But you go back and they're like, oh, they posted something new. You want to read it. Even if it's only to go and be like, well, that was dumb.
Yeah. Okay, I just posted it as a status. I'm pretty sure that if I go to the full site on Facebook, we would be able to actually do an actual poll, but we'll see about that.
Well, it's okay. Comments work, too. Yeah. You know, I mean, people can comment. Maybe you should have put click like as one, click share as another.
Right, it's one of those things,
that
right?
Seems to be a Facebook polling method.
But see, I think sometimes they do that because they like the preferred choice is share. So
right,
it shows up on more people's feeds, you know. Which is cool too.
It is cool.
Alright, so we're gonna do more recording at this point. I'm kinda hungry too, man. I don't know.
Okay, so we'll probably just break the podcast early then to go eat. Cause you know, where we eat is usually really loud, places like Fuji's. Mm-hmm. Once again, if you're looking for us, you might be able to find us at Fuji's. I mean, you guys have a general idea of what we look like.
Yeah.
So if you see us up at Fuji, just come up, shake our hands. I mean, we're cool like that.
Yeah. You might even get a CD.
Yeah.
Well, we're still working on that that EP, by the way.
Right.
See, that deadline that used to be this Saturday is now gone because I guess we're not performing that Saturday. But
right.
We want to let you know we're still working on an EP. As soon as we have copies, we'd be glad to give them away.
Right. So, what did you want to go on to?
I want to hear The Used. That's what I want to do.
You want to hear The Used?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not a big fan of crappy audio filtering into here because we're playing YouTube off of one phone into another phone. So I guess this is where we break the podcast. Sorry, guys. So we're going to break the podcast for a little bit. We might come back in and fuse them together.
Yeah.
But Roms needs to hear The Used first, and then we can kind of figure out which way we're going to go on both of them. So that way, no matter what you guys pick, we can have an instant kind of feedback.
Awesome. We'll see you.
You know, I always forget that I need to an additional like 15 seconds to unlock this thing and then stop the recording. So, you know, we say goodbye, and then it's just like, yeah. And boop.